Hallelujah, saints. Well, we're on the basic qualifications of a man of God. So if you could take out your outline. This is the fourth message. I've really enjoyed this line as well as the other lines. But, of course, being on this line, I've paid special attention to every message that was shared on this line. So I've been real impressed with the basic qualifications of a man of God. And one thing that really impressed me is like, it's really easy to hear these things and consider them disqualifications from the man of God. You think, I don't exercise my spirit, or my conscience is not that good, my heart's not that pure, I'm disqualified. Well, we shouldn't take it in that way. Rather, we should take these as the provisions. These are to us, and they're ours if we lay hold of them and exercise them. And they're very basic. All these things are very basic, but I would say they're not well known or well experienced by most Christians. And so, just like the brother shared, we're really not that normal, and we're really not even up to a basic kind of standard and exercise. So that's why we need recovery. Amen. Hallelujah! The Lord has a recovery.
Amen.
The recovery is not a group. The recovery is a recovery of things we need to experience and enjoy and become to fulfill His purpose. So this morning we come to this matter of an unfeigned faith. And I really appreciate this word. Unfeigned. Unfeigned faith. And if you look at the Greek word, this word is actually unhypocritical. So it's not a hypocritical faith. It's an unfeigned faith. So feigning is a kind of faking, right? If you feign an injury so that, you know, they stop guarding you so well, and then you burst around them and you weren't really hurt, right? That's a kind of a feigning. You feigned an injury. Or there's an animal that fakes death, right? The possum. He acts like he's dead so you won't bother him. He fakes death. More commonly, we use the word, what, poser? Is that right? It's like you say you have faith, but actually you really don't have faith. You're just pretending, right? But we have an unfeigned faith.
Amen.
An unfeigned faith. And I don't know if you picked up, but the first message was exercise, right? Exercise spirit. And the second one was also a kind of exercise. And the orders were reversed. So what was the second one or the first one? A good conscience. So you have to exercise yourself to have a good conscience. And that was also a kind of dealing, right? Dealing with your conscience. And then the third one was what? A pure heart, which is also an exercise. None of us have a pure heart. So how do we get a pure heart? Dealing, right? Dealing with your heart. Okay, so you come to unfeigned faith, you may not think of this as an exercise. Unfeigned faith. Okay, if I'm going to exercise unfeigned faith, which part of my being should I exercise? Is there another answer? Soul. Okay. Which part of your soul? Will. How did you know that? Just intuitively? In your spirit. Yeah, this is really something. Of course, faith is very mysterious. But I did find this in the ministry. It's in the life study of Ephesians. It says, faith is mainly in our will. That was really striking to me. Faith is mainly in our will. Of course, we know faith is in our spirit. We have a spirit of faith. If you look at a footnote in 2 Corinthians 4, I think it's 4:17, 4:13. It says that faith is in our spirit, not in our mind. There you go. Faith is in our spirit. So, okay, Brother Lee, which one is it? Okay, sorry. Faith is in our spirit. Not in our mind. Okay, so notice I didn't say faith is in our mind, right? So it's faith is in our will. Okay, so how can both of these be true? It's not a contradiction. Never think contradiction. Just think, okay, if these are both true, how? Sure, yeah, our mind and will are different parts of our soul. But how is faith in your spirit and mainly in your will? Right. So he believed, right? The Lord told him something, so he believed that word. That was faith, but then he had to act. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's it or not. I was thinking kind of this light kind of came to me as I was sitting in the meeting is, how about the incense altar? Where is it? Yeah, it seems like it appears in both places if you read the scriptures carefully. Maybe that's not familiar to you, and I don't want to get into the map of the tabernacle. But there are things in the Bible, because they're mysterious, they're not so... I mean, there's not a clear separating line. You know, even like our whole tripartite being, right? It's like we draw three concentric circles. It looks very clear. Oh, yeah, there's a body, there's a soul, there's a spirit. Okay, but where is it? Where does your brain stop and your mind start? You know, the brain is physical and the mind is psychological. Okay, where's the dividing line? It's hard to say. So it's kind of like this with faith, because faith, I like to give you this definition of faith. First of all, faith is simply Christ Himself. Faith is simply Christ Himself. So obviously, where is Christ? Well, that's where he starts, right? Hopefully he's not only in our spirit, but that's where he starts. Christ is in our spirit. The Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
So if faith is Christ, obviously, that's in our spirit. That's in our spirit. But his goal is to spread. And that's why we have all these dealings with our heart. Because he wants to make home in your heart. That means he needs to come into that part. He needs to come into your mind. He needs to come into your emotion. He needs to come into your will. And, of course, there with the heart, part of it is the conscience is like the gateway into your heart from your spirit. So unfeigned faith. We really need unfeigned faith.
Amen.
And I was kind of wondering, it was like, why? This is just a question. I don't really have an answer. It's like, why would you use it's kind of a negative word, right? Unhypocritical faith. Why wouldn't you say, have rich faith, or strong faith, or real faith? I mean, those are all positive words. Why would you say unhypocritical faith? Well, if you read these books, this really impressed me a lot. I don't have near enough time, but if you read, I took a lot of verses from First. I'll see all these little notes on First and Second Timothy. It's like there's a lot of fakiness in First and Second Timothy. There's a lot of false things. There's a lot of lies. There's even teachings of deceiving spirits. There's a lot of things that aren't real that are going on in the church. Because this, you have to remember, the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy is a book of degradation. And God needs a man of God to turn the tide of degradation. So it's like you have people, you know, in the church. We saw the great house. Normally you think that's somewhere else, but, you know, even, you know, possibly among us, you know, in the church, including all the believers, obviously there's all kinds of believers in the church. If you take that kind of broad view of the church, a universal view of the church, have you met unusual believers before? They're in the church. If they're genuine believers, they're in the church. And just by them professing to be Christians, they're, at least they're in the great house. And so you have a lot of these degraded things. And so there's a need for an unfeigned faith, a genuine faith. So Paul, actually this word appears in the New Testament about six times. And three times it's related to love. We should have an unhypocritical love. And one time, James uses it related to wisdom. We should have an unhypocritical wisdom. I don't fully understand that one. And then two times here in Timothy. 1 Timothy it's used, and 2 Timothy it's used. We need to have an unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. Well, how about we turn to the outline? These are just some questions. I like questions a lot. I don't always give answers. But if you think about these things, that's how you will start to get things, okay? Consider them and pray about them and fellowship about these things. Ask questions and you will get answers, right? That's how we get answers. We ask. Okay, so let's turn to number one and read that together. The economy of God is in faith. That is, God's economy, which is to dispense himself into his chosen people, is a matter that is initiated in the sphere and element of faith. Well, this is really good. 1 Timothy 1:4, which is the main verse we use a lot to show God's economy and how we shouldn't teach anything other than God's economy, shows us this economy is related to faith. So how important is faith? Very important. Because God's economy is initiated in faith, and it's developed in faith. Actually, apart from faith, there is no God's economy. That's like saying, without God being the Spirit, there is no God's economy. So it's like both are true. It's like faith is that important. God's economy is in faith. And so here, he uses this word, initiated. Okay, so what's the initiation? That's birth. Okay, so A, you have birth. By faith, we are born of God to be his sons. Wonderful. That's a wonderful truth. By faith, we are born of God. So faith is something so wonderful that it can cause you to be born of God. How powerful is that? This fallen, sinful man could be born of God just by believing. I mean, some people kind of mock that it's too easy. But they have to see it's not by your faith. This is by the faith of Christ. Okay, so two, or B, says what? By faith, we are put into Christ. Okay, that's mainly through our baptism. We are baptized into Christ. We are identified with Christ. We become members of his body. And we share all that he is for his expression. So here in the initiation, you have a birth, and in a development, obviously there's growth and a spread and an increase. Okay? So God is our source, and he's also the environment. He's our sphere. It's even the issue of this faith. Out of this birth, there is such a sphere. Amen. So it's really wonderful that we are in Christ. So faith is related to God's economy. I hope you picked that up. And we come to Roman numeral 2, this is where it tells us what? Faith is actually just Christ. So how about the sisters read Roman numeral 2 together? Amen. So what is it, brothers? What is faith? Christ entering into them to be their faith. Okay? How does that happen? How does faith enter into us? Or how does Christ enter into us to be our faith? By hearing. Okay, this is really critical. Hearing. Okay, Lord, hearing. Amen. Hearing. I thought hearing was with your ears. Isn't that physical? But when something physical happens, something what happens? Something psychological and spiritual heavens, right? So all three parts of your being are actually involved in this hearing. So where do you hear? Where do you hear, Asher? The place. No, that's the organ. Yeah, where do you hear the word? When you read it, that's good. So when does that happen? Every day? Amen. What time of day? In the morning? That's good. Only morning? Whenever. Good. Okay. So faith comes by hearing. So if you heard this word, faith comes by hearing, and you said, I want a lot of faith, what should you do? You need a lot of hearing. Okay, you need a lot of hearing. Because actually, is reading hearing? You think about it. Is reading hearing? He told us reading, right? He said, read the Bible. Phillips doesn't think so. Maybe we could just say, it depends. Depends how you read. Have you ever read and not heard anything? Yeah, many times, right? So it's not necessarily the same thing, okay? Where's another place we hear? At the East Coast College Training. Okay, unfortunately, that only happens once a year. So that's good hearing, but that's not a lot of hearing. Where else? The meetings. Yeah, I like to say that. Meetings. Meetings. We hear a lot in meetings. And that's why you really shouldn't miss the meetings. You remember there's an example in the Bible. I love the Bible because the Bible gives us so many examples. Okay, there's an example of somebody missing a meeting in the Bible. Do you know that? There is. He missed the meeting and something really important happened. Do you remember David? What happened? Huh? Do you know the case? Who's the brother? Thomas. Yeah, Thomas missed the meeting. And what happened in that meeting? Jesus came. In resurrection, the Lord Jesus came to that meeting. Okay, but it's very interesting. It's like if you look at Thomas, what was his condition? How much faith did he have? He didn't even believe the Lord resurrected because he missed the meeting. He missed the hearing. Right? It's really something. It's like he missed the meeting. How much faith did he have? Zero. I don't believe. Right? But he came to the next meeting. Praise the Lord. And what was the result? Faith. He said, my God. He believed Jesus is God. Jesus resurrected. So the meetings are very important for our hearing. Obviously, the Bible is very important for your hearing, but it all depends how you take the Bible. There's many people, I mean, some people have read the Bible and lost their faith. I've heard of that case, right? They went to seminary and they were studying the Bible and they lost their faith. What happened? There must not have been any hearing. There wasn't any hearing. So when you come to the Bible, you have to exercise. There's this word, right? We have this word. Somebody brought it up. It was really good. We have the logos, which is like a constant word. That's the word of God. But then that word has to become what? Rhema or rhema. And when it becomes rhema, guess what's happening? Hearing, right? That's when you really get the hearing. When that logos becomes rhema, oh, now I hear. I hear the word. Okay? So, praise the Lord for hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Okay? Then I love this next part. This is from the life study of Galatians. I don't know if you've ever heard of this little acronym, but it's really very helpful, and I hope you can pick it up. It's called Hack-Ratchpi. Does anybody know Hack-Ratchpi? It almost sounds like somebody's name. But Hack Ratchpi. I'm interested in, if anybody knows what this is that I didn't tell you what it was. Does anybody know this? Does this mean anything to anybody? To John Wan. Did I tell you, John?
No.
Okay. Did you hear it in the training? Okay. Praise the Lord. No, you don't need to stand up. Do you remember what the H is?
Hearing.
There you go. So these are items of faith. Not really items of faith, but aspects of faith. So first of all, with the H, you have hearing. You should be able to get the next one if you're looking at your outline. After we have hearing, hearing causes what? Appreciation. Isn't that wonderful? We hear things in the meeting. Do you hear things this week? Has appreciation been stirred up in your being? That's faith. It shows you're under the hearing of faith. Hallelujah. We're hearing. We appreciate the Lord. We appreciate Him more. The more we hear, the more we get that rhema, the more we hear the saints prophesy, testify of their love for the Lord, our faith, our appreciation just grows. So you have lots of appreciation now, John. What do you do? No, we're already there. We're up to C. Call. I appreciate the Lord Jesus so much. What do I have to say? Lord Jesus. This may even happen in your gospel preaching. I don't know if you've ever experienced when you're sharing about the Lord with someone and you don't even ask them to call, but they just say, Lord Jesus. Have you ever experienced that? I've seen that. That what happened? They appreciated Him so much, eventually they just had to say it. I want it. Lord Jesus. Or the Lord Jesus is so good. Or the Lord Jesus is so sweet. There's some appreciation, so they call, Lord Jesus. Okay, so when you call, then what happens? You receive, okay? You receive Him. You receive Him. Okay, this is hard here. You receive Him. So He comes into you. You're born of Him. Okay, so then what should happen next? You should accept Him. Okay, Josh, come here. Fortunately, I don't have a watch, but maybe this is not a good idea. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, what's the difference between receiving and accepting? Receiving and accepting. Yeah, that was when you take ownership of it. But not necessarily just that. Say, like a baby, they can take food in their mouth, but they don't really swallow it. So they received it, but they haven't accepted it. So it may come back out, right? How about this? This is not very intrinsic, but say I give you some article of clothing. I really like it, but it doesn't really match your style, Chris. And so you say, well, Vern, thanks a lot. So you receive it, and then you put it in your closet, and you never wear it. You see the difference? It's like you received it, but you didn't really accept it. In the sense of you didn't, I don't know what, enter into it. You didn't put it on. You didn't really like it. You never enjoyed it. You received it. It's in your closet, but you haven't really accepted it. I don't know. It's a fine distinction, but I think it's really important. In our experience, we realize this a lot of times. We've received Him, but we haven't accepted Him that much. Is Jesus Lord in your heart? Yes, sure. He's the Lord. He's in our heart. Have you accepted Him as Lord? Right? We received Him as Lord, but maybe we haven't accepted Him as Lord that much. Of course, we're all on the way. But anyway, there is a difference between receiving and accepting. And accepting goes deeper. Okay, then what happens? Joined. So if you accept it, you're joined to it. So that's where like the water illustration or food is a good one, right? If you receive it into you, obviously the food becomes part of you. If you put on the clothes, you're joined to those clothes. Right? I've not only accepted them, I'm wearing it. You know, I'm walking in it. I'm using it. I'm joined to it. So we know we're joined to the Lord, right? Yes? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are joined to the Lord. And that's through faith, right? By our hearing, appreciating Him, calling Him, receiving Him, accepting Him. We are joined to Him. Now that we're joined to Him, what are we doing? P. No? These are all verbs. Praise is a verb too, I guess. But partaking. We're partaking. Partaking. And then maybe there's a little distinction here too. What's the last one is enjoying. Enjoying. All these are faith. Our faith is, by faith we enjoy Him.
Amen.
We not only partake of Him, we enjoy Him. You may not like vegetables that much, but you partake of them because you have to. But you don't enjoy them. But when you partake of something you really like, you enjoy it. So hopefully this week you're really enjoying. We're partaking of Christ. And we're enjoying Christ. Okay, these are all aspects of faith. Obviously, if you do all these things, what kind of faith will you have? Unfeigned faith. For sure, that is real faith. That is genuine faith. This is a word Paul used also in these books, genuine. He called Timothy, "You're my genuine child in faith." Nothing fake about that. I know you're my genuine child in faith. And I know that unfeigned faith dwells in you because you've passed through all these steps. You know, so hopefully, I don't know if this would help you in your morning revival as a little kind of evaluation, but did all these things happen? Did you hear? Did you get some rhema? Did you appreciate the Lord this morning? Did that cause you to call on His name in a sweet way? Did you receive Him? Did you accept Him? That means let Him go a little deeper. I didn't just receive Him this morning, but I let Him go deeper, touch that part. And now I'm joined to Him. I'm rising up for my day, joined to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm partaking of Him and enjoying Him.
Amen.
And so people are going to ask me, it's like, what's that strange light about you, or that enjoyment, or that smile on your face, or why are you so happy, Matt? Because, see, we have an organic union with the triune God. And in this organic union, God is continually transfused and infused into us. Well, I really like this. I hope this is helpful. Hack Ratchpe. So how about all the brothers? Give us, just walk through it. H through E. Okay, brothers, stand up.
Hearing,
appreciating,
calling,
receiving,
accepting,
joining,
partaking,
enjoying.
Okay, sisters.
Hearing,
appreciating,
calling,
receiving,
accepting,
joining,
partaking,
enjoying.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank You for this matter of unfeigned faith. This faith is in our spirit, and this faith is in our will. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot to say on faith being in your will, but it is really something that we do have to exercise. All these things, they don't happen just by accident. But to come to a meeting, you have to make that choice. You have to stop other things, get in your car, or start walking, and get to the meeting. The same way with morning revival, it's like no one can do it for you. It's like you have to make that choice. You have to set that time aside. Same with our Bible reading. You know, some of us struggle with Bible reading. And there's no other way except making a choice, setting a time. You know, some did the Bible challenge. I know in Atlanta there was a Bible challenge. I think Athens, y'all have done Bible challenges. These are just things to help us get into the Word. And when you're in the Word, there is a chance there'll be some hearing. If you exercise in the proper way, we can hear the Lord speaking. So this faith that's in our spirit, it needs to grow. It needs to increase, and it needs to come into our heart. So there's faith here. This faith needs to come into our mind, emotion, and will. And a lot of that is by just obeying the Lord speaking. Even in the New Testament, it tells us they obeyed the gospel. That really shows it's something of your will, right? The gospel came to you, the hearing came to you, and they believed. But it doesn't say they believed, it says they obeyed, which is, that's something of your will. Obedience is something of your will. But as we've seen, it's not of ourselves, it's really of Christ. We need Christ to be that power. It's not by our willpower, but we do have to use our will. I don't know another way to say it. We do have to exercise that part of our being that's called our will. And even to ask the Lord to strengthen that part with Himself. Lord, my will is just the jellyfish will. Strengthen me with your will.
Amen.
You're the one who set your face like a flint.
Amen.
Flint is so hard. Nothing was going to change your mind or stop you from getting to Jerusalem. And even in Hebrews, I enjoy this word. You know, there the Hebrews are struggling, and probably they're complaining about their struggle. And you know what Paul says? As I read this morning. He says, "You've not yet resisted unto blood." Okay? So you're struggling, Josh. You know, a few years ago, they had this advertising, "Where's the beef?" But this morning, I like to say, "Where's the blood?" If you're really struggling, where's the blood? You know what I mean? Where's the blood? Have you struggled that much? Have you resisted sin that much? That's will. That's will. You know, we were in Austin, and Brother Andrew was sharing with us all these stories, and they were so enjoyable. And he was sharing about faithfulness, being faithful. And I think this is related to faith. You think so? Yeah, faithful, faith. Okay. So he was sharing this story about, what was the first one? The Israelis, that was the first one. Sorry, in the Yom Kippur War, this was in 1967, ancient history. There was a war there, and the Syrians had like 400 tanks or 500 tanks. The details aren't important, but the Israelis only had like 40 tanks, and eventually the Syrians, you know, had just overwhelming firepower, even better technology, but the Israelis were there something. They weren't going anywhere. And so even they ran out of ammunition. And one of the tanks called in to headquarters. It's like, "I'm on this hill. I'm out of ammunition." And what did they tell him? "Stay there." Because the enemy doesn't know you're out of ammunition. You know what I mean? It's like the enemy doesn't know if that tank is going to blast them or not. So the Israelis just held their position. I'm sure many got blown up, but they didn't get defeated because they were faithful. They stayed there and they were faithful. And then the second thing he shared with us was about the Japanese in World War II. He said, there's something about the Japanese. You know, most armies, if you have 20 men holding a hill, they've shown this in many studies. If you kill five of them, the other 15 will all retreat. They've lost the battle. But he said with the Japanese, you had to kill all 20 of them. You couldn't just kill 5 or 19. It's like they weren't going anywhere. And so it was, does anybody read the history of the Pacific War? It's like it's just unbelievably brutal because you had to kill every last one of them because they were faithful. They had a cause. Maybe it was a wrong cause, but they were there for a reason, and they weren't going anywhere. And so it's like, I really appreciate Paul's word. It's like, you know, sometimes we're just such wimps. You know, if no one else is going to the meeting, I'm not going to the meeting either. Do you know what I mean? It's like everybody else has retreated. Well, I'm retreating too. But the faithful ones, right? The faithful ones just, they're not going anywhere. Right? Even if I'm the last one, if I'm the only one, I know where I'm going to be. Because I have the faithful one in me. He's never denied me, and I'm not going to deny him. So even Paul said, this is what's desired in stewards, that they be found faithful. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to share is something I've really enjoyed from Ephesians. This is the life study of Ephesians, message 64. And there it's on Ephesians 6 about the armor. You know, it says that we should put on the armor. And one of those elements is the shield of faith. And there's a whole little section on that. And as a young person, when I read that, that was such a big help to me that we have a shield of faith. Of course, it's not the first item. First, you have the girdle of truth, then the breastplate of righteousness, and then our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And we have a helmet of salvation. But one of these items is the shield of faith. And I just wanted to share these things with you, and then there'll be plenty of time for you to share and respond. The shield of faith. So basically, it's like, what do we have faith in? Because there in Ephesians 6, there's a battle. You have darts are flying. The bullets are flying. But even Andrew said, you know, the best weapon is faithfulness. It's better than any rifle and any bullet. If you're faithful, you can't be defeated. All they can do is kill you. That's the most they can do is kill you. But with us, if they kill us, we're not defeated. Actually, we win. Right? Aren't you an overcomer?
Amen.
If you're martyred? Yeah, so the worst that can happen is they kill you, but you win. We're victorious. So we really have to have a mind renewing. I don't win by preserving my life. Okay? Most people, that's, I don't know if that's the American way of thinking, but it's like, I don't want to die. I'll do anything to not die. If that's your thought, you've already lost. Because eventually, it may be required of you that price. So, in our mind, that has to be settled, right? I'm not here to preserve my life. Neither my soul life. Neither my physical life. We're here to be faithful. Okay, so what do we believe in? Number one. What's number one? We believe in God. That's powerful. So in Mark, I don't have verses for all of these, but in Mark 11:22 it says, have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Our faith is in God. Okay? God. Two, have faith in God's heart. And that's mainly God's heart toward us. So this is Mark 11:22. And this verse is a really good verse. Jeremiah 29:11. Talks about the Lord's thoughts toward us are for good. So we should never think that the Lord wants to punish us or do evil to us or that he's against us. Or he doesn't want us to make it. Actually, his heart toward us is good.
Amen.
He's the loving Father.
Amen.
Even if you're far away, he's outside waiting for you to come back.
Amen.
He's not plotting your demise. His heart for you is good.
Amen.
Okay, three. God's faithfulness. So we have faith in God's faithfulness. That God is faithful. So my believing is not in my own, but in his. Lord, you're faithful. That's James 1:17. Okay? Then, this is a very wonderful point. God is able. We have faith that He is able. There was one Bible teacher, he said somebody was praising him. He used this illustration about, I think it was related to his wife, because he had to travel, and somebody said, "Oh, you must have great faith in your wife." And he said, "Actually, I don't have great faith in my wife. I have a great wife." Did you get it? They said, "Josh, you have great faith in your wife." And he goes, "No, I don't have great faith in my wife. I have a great wife." You see the difference? Yeah. So we don't have great faith. We have a great God.
Amen.
Right? If you've read the Bible and you've seen what He's able to do, do you have great faith, Philip? We just have a great God.
Amen.
We have a great God. I mean, it's one reason we need to read the Bible is see what He's able to do. I mean, He's able to raise the dead. He is able. Okay. Then we have faith in His Word. God's Word is faithful. So many wonderful promises. They will be fulfilled. And we have faith in His will. His will is unchanging. You could say that's His plan. A lot of times I just tell people, it's like, I know how the story ends. Don't you know how the story ends? I don't know all the twists and turns it's going to take to get there, but I do know how it ends. I mean, that strengthens your faith a lot if you know the destination and how it all turns out. It's already done. See it and believe it. And finally, we have to have faith in God's sovereignty. This is a really touching one, too. God's sovereignty. You know, the speaking on the conscience and, you know, even sin, the effects of sin. You know, there's no one without sin. And we've all sinned in many ways. And we should repent. But this is really something. You know, there's another R word. We should have repentance, but you shouldn't have regret. Do you know why? Because God is sovereign, right? Even over the worst sin, David's sin, you know, David went on. You know, I think if it was some of us, we wouldn't have gone on. Even if we had repented, we wouldn't have gone on. We would have just spiraled down into despair and woe is me and how could I do that? What will people think about me? Many possibilities. But David went on. And he went on because he knew God was sovereign, even over that terrible sin. And of course, that doesn't mean we have any license to sin or we should seek to make mistakes. But we just realize if that happened, that was under God's sovereignty. And I need to repent. It's my fault. It's my responsibility. I'm the one who did it. God didn't cause it to happen. But after I repent, it's over. If there's consequences, that's up to God. Whatever consequences He decides, it's perfectly fine with me. I accept all of them. But I have no regrets. I can go on. Because I have such a faithful God.
Amen.
So this is a real shield. I hope you'll take this as a shield. This is a real protection. Because Satan all the time is just attacking our minds with darts. And I always like to say, he doesn't play fair. You know, when the whistle blows, he's still piling on. You know, he doesn't stop. But praise the Lord, we have such a faithful God.
Amen.
And we have unfeigned faith in our spirit. And there's faith in our will.
Amen.
that we can exercise our will. We have a spirit of power that's related to our will. So we're not cowards. We're not running. And we won't be defeated.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about we have some sharing? We still have a good 15 minutes.